We are looking at the Exodus from Egypt as a model or example of our Christian life. And we saw how the children of Israel left Egypt is how we leave this world. How they were baptized into Moses is how we are baptized into Christ. What they went through in the wilderness is the challenges we will go through in the wilderness. And how they were led in the wilderness is how we will be led in the wilderness of this world. And we saw that he led them by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And we understand that the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire represent the word of God. As the fire and the water that washes or burns us today. The Bible, the Word of God is living and active. It is not an ordinary book. It can act as either living fire or living water to your soul. Remember the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Were not our hearts burning within us whilst he spoke to us on the road? As he revealed the scriptures to us. So we spoke about the word of God as being like a fire. Now I want to speak about the word of God as being like water to our souls. And how God leads us through the washing of water by the word. Amen.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 1 and verse 15. The Apostle John had a vision of the glorified Christ. And it said that his voice was like the sound of many waters. The idea of many waters coming forth from the mouth of Jesus. The word is like a water, a pure water that washes our souls. Amen.
Amen.
Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, making it bear and sprout and furnish seed to the sower, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. God deliberately designed the rain and the snow. And the way it comes down from the heavens to show us how he is going to water us through his word. His living word who came down from heaven, Jesus Christ. If you don't have rain to water the earth, there is no harvest. And if there is no harvest, the people get hungry. God desires us to have a harvest of righteousness in our hearts. He wants us to be a tree of the Lord. Planting of the Lord which produces good fruit. When there is no water, there is no growth. There is no harvest and there is no salvation in the end. We need to be individually watered by God's word. We need to be led and guided by this watering process. The water washes and cleans us, but also satisfied our spiritual thirst. If a man comes to Christ in the proper way, he gets cleaned for the first time in his life. This should be a unique and exhilarating experience, where he feels clean on the inside for the first time in his life. This is a sign that one has passed from death to life. Many people today, when they pray the sinner's prayer, are not changed afterwards. They never felt that inner cleaning within, because they thought it was enough just to believe in God. The Bible says, repent, remove the leaven, then believe in God. You have to leave your old life behind if you want to follow Jesus. But when we come to Christ in the first instance, we get cleaned for the first time. The joy of God encounters our soul. We feel alive, we feel fresh, we feel new. But then we live in a dirty world, and there are ongoing defilements everywhere around us. If you have a wash one day, then go out working the fields the whole day, and then you come back home, are you still washed? Are you still clean? No, you're dirty. You need to take a wash. We need to be washed regularly by the Spirit through His Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. The Apostle Paul says, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilements of flesh and spirit. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You are on a journey aiming for perfection in your Christian life. You may not attain perfection, but we aim for perfection. To perfect ourselves in holiness in the fear of God. And in order to do this, we must cleanse ourselves from all defilements of flesh and spirit. How are we to be cleansed? By the washing of water by the Word. Amen. If the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, then pitched their camp somewhere in the wilderness, and when the cloud moved, they decided, no, I want to stay here. Do you think they would have made it to the Promised Land? No. There is a requirement and an obligation in our faith to walk by faith. Live in the light as He is in the light. Keep in step with the Spirit. And cleanse ourselves from all defilements of flesh and spirit. To outward work that holiness that God placed within our hearts on the first day of our salvation. We are not saved just to get us to heaven. If that was God's purpose, He would have just taken you to heaven already. God wants a people who are overcomers. Because if He's going to give you the right to sit with Him on His throne, you must have proved yourself faithful in this world. We have not been saved just to get us to heaven. God's purpose in saving you is to not to make you a blessed, prosperous man. It is to conform you into the image of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And He does that by leading us by the pillar of cloud in the wilderness. If you have hidden areas of sin in your life, that will hold you back in your Christian walk. And it's only when you start to seriously deal with some of your issues that you have in life. Get serious about dealing with the sin in your heart. Get serious about being cleansed from these defilements of flesh and spirit. That's when you will find you will advance rapidly in your Christian walk. Because you are learning to follow His pillar of cloud in the wilderness. Amen.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 8 to 11, the Apostle Paul says, "Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. You cannot live a Christian life but hiding in sin at the same time. You cannot be a fornicator and go to the kingdom of heaven at the same time. You cannot be an idolater or an adulterer and enter the kingdom of heaven. You cannot be a homosexual or a thief and enter the kingdom of heaven. You cannot be covetous, a drunkard, a reviler, or a swindler. And think that you will enter into the kingdom of God." The Apostle Paul says, "Such as some of you were." You were fornicators. You were homosexuals. You were drunkards. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. You were washed. But what about now? Are you still washed? Are you still sanctified? Are you still justified? Are you working out that initial washing in your life? By keeping in step with the Spirit. There are many in the church today who are defiled in flesh and spirit. Whose consciences have been defiled. They know they have done the wrong thing. But they choose to ignore the voice of their conscience. The Bible says, "Fight the good fight of the faith." Keeping faith and a good
conscience?
How do you keep in the faith? By keeping a good conscience. If your conscience is defiled, you know you've done the wrong thing. Do you have peace with God then? No. Your peace evaporates. Your rest in God evaporates. The faith we have is called the Sabbath rest of faith. Maintaining faith is maintaining your rest and peace in God. But if your conscience is defiled, your peace in God has been broken, you're in danger of walking away from the faith. What you do at that moment is extremely important. The Bible says, confess your sins one to another, that you may be healed. If we confess our sins and repent of them, there is forgiveness. We can be washed again. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We are being washed by the water of His Word. And our faith is, peace with God is restored in our hearts. But what if we choose to ignore our conscience? Not listening to our conscience. That means we have stopped following the pillar of cloud in the wilderness. Will such a man make it to the promised land? No. The Apostle Paul said, I have fought the good fight of the faith. I have kept the faith and a good conscience. Therefore there is now in store for me the crown of righteousness that the Lord will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. Are you keeping a good conscience? Are you allowing the Word of God to wash you on a daily basis? If you read in the Word of God to forgive your brother and your sister, and as you read that word, suddenly you get convicted in your heart. I still bear a grudge against this person or that person. What do you do about it? Do you forgive that person and obey the word? That's following the cloud of in the wilderness. Or do you ignore it and just go on to the next verse? If you read in the Bible, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, and you suddenly remember, every time I speak, I'm speaking hateful, malicious words. I don't give grace to those who hear. I attack with my words. What are you going to do? The word is revealing your sin. Will you follow what the word says? And repent of those malicious words? Will you ignore it? And keep speaking evil, malicious words? Beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilements. This is being watered in the wilderness. Allowing His word to wash us in the wilderness. Following the pillar of cloud during the day. Leaders in the body of Christ today need to be able to water their flocks. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, the Bible says, I planted. The Apostle Paul planted the seed. Apollos watered the seed. But God was causing the growth. If you plant a seed in the ground and there's no rain, what happens to that seed? Shrivels. If God plants the seed of His word in your heart, and the new creation begins to grow in your heart, but it never receives the water of God's word to water it, what will happen to that seed? It dies.
Yeah.
How do we preach today? Am I watering you with my words? Am I stirring those around me to love and good deeds? Am I preaching the whole gospel of Jesus Christ? Or am I just preaching some of the gospel? And reaffirming sinful lifestyles by never mentioning them. God wants His people to become a sanctified bride with no spot or wrinkle on her dress, and He's going to do it by washing her according to the water of His word. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 27, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He may sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. He wants to wash you, that He may present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spots or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. God is not coming for a bride who has not made herself ready. He's coming for a bride who is prepared and ready to meet her bridegroom. If you come to your wedding with ripped clothes and dirty, would your husband be happy to receive you? Would he think, ooh, wow, I can't wait to be married to this lady? Would he react that way? Say, what are you doing? You think you're going to be married to me? Like this? We have been invited to the marriage supper of God Himself. Do you think it is appropriate to go with dirty dress? With stains all over our clothes. Dark spots of sin that we've been hiding. Do you think God will receive us? Saying, oh, I'm so happy to have my bride. I can't wait to give my son to such a bride. Do you think God will be happy with someone like that? No. He wants to present himself to the church in all her glory. Having no spots. But that she will be holy and blameless before him. God wants to perfect holiness in your life. He doesn't want you to remain the same. He wants you to get to the place where you holiness is normal for you. Where you are really, you are a different person to the one you used to be. Where you are used to walking clean before God. As Adam walked with God in the garden, with intimate relationship with no sin coming between. Having no spot or no darkness between you. So that if you do sin and you spot and stain your garments, because of the brightness of your garments, you immediately see it and deal with it. The problem is we're often like pigs wallowing in the mud. And we all like to roll in the mud. And then we compare ourselves to each other. You've got more mud than I have. I'm better than you. But I'm still a pig rolling in the mud. Just because he gets a little bit of mud off him, you can't really tell because he's still full of mud. The Apostle Paul says you were washed. If the pig gets washed, all of a sudden he looks different to all the other pigs. They say, whew, what happened to you? You think you're better than us? You should get a bit more mud on you. That's like we are in this world. We come to the faith. We come cleaning before God. And then we feel holy and clean. But then we don't want to do the things we used to do. And our former friends say, who do you think you are? You think you're better than me? You need a bit of mud. They throw a bit of mud. People don't like you being cleaned because it reveals their dirtiness. Amen.
Amen.
This is why it's so important for us to get a wash every day. To get to the place where we are used to being clean. Where we like being clean. Where we get to a place in our Christian walk. Where it becomes difficult to actually walk in sin. Because the holiness of God and Christ has become our very nature. And it becomes distressful within to actually sin. And it becomes impossible to sin eventually. Or should I say, to walk in that sin? 1 John chapter 3, verses 6 and 9. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. That's talking about the person who walks in unrepentant sin. No one who is born of God practices sin. If you do practice sin on a daily basis, that means you are not really born of God. No one who is born of God practices sin. Because his seed abides in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. Have you got to the place yet where it is difficult for you to sin? Have you got to that place in your life yet? Most people, it is easy to sin. And as a pastor, you're always trying to keep them from falling into sin. But when we become mature in our faith, we are supposed to get to a place where we are clean on the inside. And we do not want to dirty our clothes. And we like the sense of being clean and washed. Because when we feel clean on the inside and have peace with God, we know we are going in the right direction with God. Because God is leading us by his pillar of cloud by day. Such a person does not need to be ordered to do this and to do that. You don't have to say, read your Bible, pray more, come to church. Stop swearing, stop getting drunk. You don't need to tell them because they have the law of God in their hearts.
And
the law of God within them becomes a law to themselves. They are becoming a spiritual man in Christ. Some people may say, that's impossible. How can I live clean before God? Jesus said, with people it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen.
Amen.
The high call of God is for us to be conformed to the image of Christ. Christ had no sin. He lived a pure and holy life. And he is the example for us to follow. Amen.
Amen.
The pillar of fire and cloud would sometimes move frequently in the wilderness. At other times he would rest in a certain place for a longer period of time. Sometimes it seems the Lord is doing one thing after another in our lives. We get victory in one area, he takes us to another area. We get victory in that area, we go to another area. One thing after another. The cloud is moving frequently. But then sometimes it seems we've been staying in one place for a long time. Maybe we are tempted to think. Maybe I am perfect now. Maybe I have arrived. Maybe God is very pleased with me. But we always need to watch to see when the cloud is moving again.
And
make sure we react correctly when it does. Sometimes we feel we have arrived in our Christian life. Everything seems to be going well. But then suddenly the light of Christ shines upon us and reveals a hidden area we didn't even realize was there. What do we do then? If you're a leader in the church, and the light of Christ shines on you, and you realize you have an area of your heart that's never been dealt with yet. A darkness within that has not been dealt with yet. What do you do? Most pastors and leaders don't want to admit anything. If I admit that I am a sinner, then people will not respect me. People look up to me. I can't say that I'm a sinner. What will I do? I'll cover it up. We need to have humility. And if God is revealing something in your life and he's dealing with, that means you need to deal with it. And if you don't deal with it, you won't be following the cloud of the pillar of cloud in the wilderness. You need to be able to confess and repent of that sin.
It
doesn't matter if you're called a pastor, a bishop, or an apostle. God reveals something in your heart, you need to deal with it. Sometimes it may need that you get someone you can trust. And you say to them in confidence, "Brother, I'm struggling in this area. And confess that sin to them." There is a power in confession. Because sin loves to stay in hidden from you. And it grows like a cancer when it is hidden. But when it is exposed by confession, its power over us gets broken. Because we realize we don't have to hide our sin. sin anymore. It's now out in the open. I can deal with it now. There is a power in confession. Amen. We need to humble ourselves and deal with our sinful natures. Amen.
Amen.
The pillar of fire guided the children of Israel during the night time. Whereas the pillar of cloud guided them during the day. When we are going through the dark times of life, it is often the fire of God's word that burns within us that acts as our guide. The fire tends to shock us and to lighten our way in the darkness. However, when we are going through the lighter times, when we are walking clearly in the light of His words, we are walking in the day. This is when we tend to experience the ongoing washing of the living waters. That sense of being clean on the inside. That confirms to us that we are walking in the right path. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light, if we walk in the day, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. When I know I am walking in the light as best I am able, I have peace with God. And fellowship with like-minded believers is so much deeper. And that sense of cleanliness within is exhilarating. Romans 8 verse 16 says, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Do you have that testimony in your heart? Amen. Is the Spirit of God in agreement with your spirit that you are a child of God? Do you have that peace with God on the inside? That is a confirmation you are walking in the right way. You are following the pillar of cloud in the wilderness. Do you have the joy of the Holy Spirit in your heart? This is a good indicator you are following the pillar of cloud in the wilderness. Do you have the joy of the Lord as your strength? Or do you have to work yourself up to feeling happy? Every child of God should have a measure of joy in their heart. A joy that is in the Lord God Himself. Do you have that joy of the Lord in your heart? Amen.
Amen.
Once the cloud of fire lifted from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel were to know they were once again on the move. But did they move immediately? No. They waited in preparation for the leaders to blow the trumpet in order to know how to move and when to move. Numbers chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. The Lord spoke further to Moses, saying, Make yourself two trumpets of silver. You shall use them for summoning the congregation. And having the camps set out. The trumpets were sounded in different ways to indicate to the congregation what they were supposed to do. For example, if both trumpets were blown at the same time, the whole congregation had to assemble at the tent of meeting. If only one trumpet was blown, only the leaders were to assemble. If they blew an alarm on the trumpets, the camps on the east side would set out first. If they sounded out a second alarm, the camps on the south side would set out. There were different trumpet blasts for different occasions. What does this mean to us today? In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, the Apostle Paul says, If the trumpet produces an indistinct sound, who will prepare himself for battle? So also you. Unless you utter by the tongue speech that is clear, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. Is the trumpet sounding a clear note in the church today? What sound are the leaders giving off by the trumpets today? Are we sounding a distinct note? Or are we just speaking into the air? Is the church getting ready to move? Ready for the battles ahead. Ready to go to war in these last days. Are we being clear with the church? And the people around us. As to what the situation is that we are in. We are living in the last days. Are we making our congregations aware of that? The Bible says the love of most will grow cold in the last days. Are we stirring up our congregations to love and good deeds? Or are we just preaching messages people like to hear, to make them feel good about themselves? What gospel are we preaching? In Joel chapter 2, verse 1, the prophet says, Blow a trumpet in Zion. What is Zion? The mountain of the Lord, it represents the church of God. Blow a trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. When was the last time you sounded an alarm in the church of God? When When was the last time you sounded a trumpet of warning to the people of God? Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near. There is a real sense, lack of urgency about these things. In the church today. The signs of the times are all around us. As in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Lot, rampant militant homosexuality held sway. In much of the West today, militant homosexuality rules the wave. We are living in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We are living in the end days. When we see the apostasy all around us, the church running after money instead of running after Christ, you understand this is a sign of the end times. The Bible speaks of a great falling away that will happen just prior to Christ's return. Many will depart from the faith and will follow deceitful spirits and doctrines taught by demons. These are the days we are living in today. In Joel chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, the prophet says, blow a trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Proclaim a solemn assembly. Get serious about the things of God. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. How can we sanctify the congregation when we preaching the love of money every Sunday? Sanctify your congregations. Teach them about holiness. How important it is to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Assemble the elders. We're having pastors' conferences. I am blowing a trumpet amongst the elders. I am sounding a warning to the elders. Gather the children and the nursing infants. Let them hear the message also. Let the bridegroom come out of his room. And the bride out of her bridal chamber. The return of Christ is more important. And if you're not ready for it, you need to leave your bridal chamber. And listen to the call of the trumpets. Let the priests, the Lord's ministers, weep between the porch and the altar. It's good to dance before the Lord, to rejoice before Him. But when was the last time you wept before the Lord? Wept before God for the state of the church. Has your heart ever been moved for the way the church has become? Let them say, "Spare your people, O Lord." The day of the Lord is indeed great and very awesome. Who can endure it? Only him who is washed by the water of the word. Who fights the good fight of faith, keeping faith and a good conscience. The day of the Lord is coming, and it will be an awesome day. The ground will shake, and people will faint from fear of what is coming upon the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. People will be in confusion. Then they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great glory. And he will send out his angels. And the true light will start to shine. And it will reveal all the hidden darkness in our souls. Only those who have been made ready will shine like him on that day. He's coming for a bride who has made herself holy and pure before him. On that day, many will be in terror. Because they will see the Son of Man coming. The light of his glory of his presence will shine upon them. And they will realize there are things in their heart they have never dealt with. The light reveals spots on their garments. And they will not be ready for the coming of the Son of Man. Only those who follow the pillar of cloud in the wilderness, who allow God's word to wash them on a regular basis, only these people will be ready. John 17:17. Jesus said, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Are you reading and absorbing and getting into the Word of God? Are you allowing His Word to wash your soul? Are you allowing His Word to take you in the wilderness where you need to go? John 15:2-7. Jesus said, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So that it will bear more fruit." This is why sometimes it is uncomfortable in our Christian walk. Because God is pruning us. He's cutting back the growth. So that we will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word which I spoke to you. His word cleans us as we receive it. "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Am I abiding in him? That means, am I living in him? Am I in his word every day? Jesus said in verse 7, if you abide in me,
if
and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Amen?
Amen.
Let us be of those who prioritize the word of God. Who abide in his words in these last days. Let us allow God to prune us. To cut out the dead growth. As he reveals his word to us and lights our path. Let us be careful to follow after Christ. He who is the word of God. The pillar of cloud in the day. The pillar of fire at night. And let us sound a distinct note on our trumpet. Let us blow the trumpet in Zion and warn God's people to be about our Father's business, to cleanse ourselves from all defilements of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. And as we follow his cloud in the wilderness, let us enter into his rest. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Sovereign and great and mighty King, we praise you, Lord Most High. Help us to grasp these things which we have heard today. Help us to look forward to the coming of Christ as a blessed hope within our hearts. May we long for that day. May we long for your holiness and righteousness to be the standard in our hearts. Father, we ask you to wash us by the water of your word. I pray you would wash these people who hear my voice with the living waters from heaven, that they may be sanctified in your truth. These things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.